Now, in terms of the refuge visualization, what we want to imagine, you know, in the space in front of us, and remember this is on an imaginary level, don't expect to see anything with your eyes. You know, it's all done visualizing. And by the way, visualizing, you know, if I say think of your mother, you can all think of your mother? Everybody have an idea of what their mother looks like? You get a picture of your mother very easily in your mind? Yeah? Okay, then think of your husband. Yeah? I mean, what I'm getting at is visualization just means that image coming to your mind. That's visualization. If I say think of your workplace, an image comes to your mind. You're visualizing. Okay? So when I say here in the context of taking refuge, to visualize this or that, it's just that idea of a mental image coming in your mind. It doesn't mean that you see everything completely, you know, vibrantly clear like with your eyes. Okay? It just means imagine. And we visualize all the time. Okay? we're usually visualizing our paychecks and our bed and spaghetti and things like that. What we're doing here is we're trying to visualize things that are really going to enhance us spiritually. So we're going to visualize the three objects of refuge and then generate the attitude of refuge so we can actually take refuge in them. So the elaborate visualization, okay, there's one big throne, okay? Then on top of this throne, you have five smaller thrones, one in the center, one in the front, side, back, and the other side. Okay, and I'm going to describe this as you're looking towards it, okay? Not as I'm seeing it, but as you're seeing it. So on this big throne, in the center throne, which is a little bit higher, you imagine your root spiritual master in the form of the Buddha, okay? So, again, you're not taking your spiritual master's personality and imagining them as the Buddha, but you're trying to connect with what is the essence of your spiritual master. Okay, the essence of your spiritual master isn't their sense of humor. It isn't their, you know, patting you on the hand. It isn't their kind look. Their essence is compassion. Their essence is wisdom. Okay, so you're not imagining the personality of your teacher as the Buddha, but the qualities of your teacher appearing as the Buddha. Okay? So it's a thing of like seeing your teacher in a pure way. Then, in the throne in front of your teacher, you imagine your teacher as the Buddha, okay? And that in the throne in front, then you have all your other spiritual masters, okay? So your root teacher, what we call the root guru, is in the form of the Buddha. All the other ones are on the, you know, you can visualize your root guru there in his or her normal form, and all the other teachers you've directly taken teachings from, the people that you consider your spiritual masters, that you've made that connection with. Okay? So they're in the front. Then, on the throne, which is to the Buddha's right, but to your left as you're looking at it, you have Manjushri. Okay? So on that throne, you have Manjushri, and you have all the lamas, the spiritual masters of the lineage, which is called the profound lineage. So this is the lineage of teachings that primarily emphasizes wisdom, primarily emphasizes emptiness. Okay, so these lineage lamas, of course, they have all the different techniques and things. But that tradition really emphasizes the wisdom aspect of the path. So you have the lineage lamas like Nargajuna, Chandrakirti, Buddhakalita, all of these ones, okay? You have Lama Tsongkhapa, and then it goes down into the Kadampa Geshis and so on. And on the Buddha's right, which is your left as you're looking at the Buddha, there you have Maitreya, and all the teachers from the extensive lineage. So the extensive or the vast lineage is emphasizing the teachings on bodhicitta, on altruism, on compassion, And so here you have, you know, a Sangha, Maitreya to a Sangha, and so on down the line. Okay, again to Lama Tsongkhapa and the Kadampa Masters. So you have Lama Tsongkhapa and the Kadampa Masters on both sides. Then, the throne in back, you have Vajradhara surrounded by all the Lamas of the experiential lineage. And this would mean if you're practicing, you know, specific deities, the Lamas of that lineage, you know, like if you're practicing Dorje Jigche Yamataka, then all of those Lamas, or if you're practicing Haruka, all of those Lamas of that lineage. Okay? Sometimes the experiential lineage, or sometimes that background, they call it the lineage of the blessings of the practice, and then they say, then it's Shanti Deva there, and all the Lamas of, you know, that tradition. So there's different ways of explaining the back throne. Okay, so you have your one big throne, you have your root guru in the center on a slightly higher throne, your other teachers in the front, your root guru in the form of the Buddha in his or her ordinary form, you know, and your other spiritual ones here. On this side, which is the Buddha's right, you have Maitreya. On this side, Maitreya and the Lamas of the extensive lineage. Here, Manjushri and the Lamas of the profound lineage. And here, Vajradhara and the Lamas of the experiential lineage. Okay. Then, making circles around those, you have circles of the different tantric deities. You have circles of all the other Buddhas, like the 1,000 Buddhas of the Fortunate Aeon, or the 8 Medicine Buddhas. You have a circle of Bodhisattvas, a circle of Arhats, a circle of Dakas and Dakinis, which are special beings, you know, who have realized emptiness, who help us along the path, and a circle of Dharma protectors. Okay? So, and all of them are made of light, so don't worry about how you see, you know, oh, the, you know, this guy's sitting in front of that one, so I can't see the one in back, okay? Everything you're visualizing is made of light. It's not made out of concrete. Visualizing it made of light helps us to remember also that none of the objects of refuge are inherently existent. And at the sides of the lamas, or in front of them, you have the Dharma texts. Okay, so here you have the three objects of refuge. You have the Buddha, in the form of Shakyamuni in the center, you know, the essence of which is your teacher. Also the Buddha in the form of the meditational deities and all of the other Buddhas in these concentric circles around. You have the Dharma in the form of the texts that are sitting in either in front or to the side of the lamas, all the different lamas on the different thrones. You have the Sangha in the form of the Bodhisattvas, the Arhats, the Dakas and Dakinis, and the Dharma protectors. Okay? So you have all the objects of refuge. They're all made of light. They're all looking at you with a very friendly and delighted expression. Yeah, and this is actually very important when you think of the refuge objects, to think of them smiling at you. Don't think of the Buddha thing looking like, ugh, I saw you, you know, you were naughty today, you know. We shouldn't import our Christian ideas onto Buddhism, okay? But to remember that whenever the objects of refuge look at us, they look on us with a pleased and delighted face, not with a critical, judgmental one. Okay, and especially, I mean, they look at us with a pleased and delighted face because they have great compassion, because they have such a kind heart and love for us. Also, and they look at us in a very pleasing way because they're very happy that we're practicing the Dharma. And so, especially when we're imagining them, it signifies that we're starting to practice, isn't it? Yeah, and so even though we might kind of behave in all sorts of, you know, not so nice ways the other time, by the very fact that we're just sitting down and starting to practice and starting to put our mind in a good direction now, then that's causing the Buddhists to look at us with a kind face. Okay, so it's important to think of, you know, our teachers looking at us kindly, you know, Buddha's looking at us kindly. Yeah, they're all made of light. They're also, you can imagine they're all talking to each other too. You know, they're not all just sitting there and falling asleep. But, you know, the, all the different lamas, they're debating and discussing the Dharma. Okay? And then yourself, you're sitting here in your ordinary form. On your left you have your mother. On your right your father. In front of you, everybody you don't like. And around you, all the other sentient beings. So all the people you don't like in front of you, also looking towards the Buddha, the idea being that we can't escape all the people we don't like, you know, and that we especially have to develop a compassionate attitude wanting to lead them to enlightenment. And so when we then do the refuge, we imagine that we're leading all of the beings in saying it, you know, even our enemies. Yeah. This is really important. So you imagine the people that you don't like having faith in the Buddha. You imagine your mother and father having faith in the Buddha. It's really nice, you know, to think in this way. And you imagine that you're actually leading them and taking refuge. It's a very nice visualization.